But in the ministry of the Word, I am grateful for the incredible staff that God has placed here. The chemistry that's between our staff is incredible. God has just gifted us with the right personnel, the right giftings, the right people. Over the past couple months, I know Pastor Bob, Pastor Chuck, had an opportunity to share. Unfortunately, they were stuck within my confines of where I was at First Peter. But over the next season, I sort of give some of my pastors an opportunity to bring what we might even call a one-off, but it's just from their heart to your heart, what's going on in their lives. And from the Word of God, let them share. And so I'll be doing a few short series. In fact, next week I'll launch a series called The Presence of Peace. And I really want you to learn biblically what peace is. I don't want us to get lost in what we think it is, but what does the Word of God say it is, and what is God's presence all about. And so we're going to be doing that. But today it is my joy to invite Pastor Raymond Marshall. He serves as our youth and young adults minister. He's going to come today and share God's Word with you, and I just ask you to give him a big, warm welcome.
So much for them to be there. So we are blessed to be a part of this church body. And you know, it's interesting. Pastor Brooks told me this was going to happen when my father passed. He's like, you're going to have moments we weren't expecting it that's going to hit you. And yesterday was one of those moments. We had to take our two-year-old. She's almost three. She'll turn three in November. We had to take her to the urgent care. We were at our son's birthday party at Bounce It Up, which has like the inflatables. And one of her friends fell on her. So we had to take her to the urgent care. She ended up fracturing her radial head and her elbow. And as we're leaving, you know, she got it set on like a soft stent and all that. And as we're leaving, we're pulling out of the urgent care. I started to get a little emotional, and my wife kind of looked at me like, what's going on? I was like, you know, my dad was always the first person I'd call in these moments, and I don't have that anymore. So it's been these weird moments of not expecting it when it hits, but you know what? It's okay. It's a day-by-day process to walk through it, but thank you, church body, for praying with us and supporting us. We so love and appreciate you. Today, we're going to be in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. If you have your Bible, you can turn there, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. If you don't have a Bible, or if you have a Bible, you want a little easier access, I would encourage you to download YouVersion Bible app. I tell our students about it all the time. It's such an easy, accessible Bible app that is just fantastic. It has a bunch of different Bible plans. You can add your friends on there. You can do different plans with your friends. Pastor Brooks, every Sunday, has his sermon notes up on YouVersion, so you can go on YouVersion, go on the events tab, and there's his sermon notes you can follow along with. And I believe the sermon notes are also on loop as well, but we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. I'm not going to read all the verses. I'm going to kind of, you know, this is something I've learned from Pastor Brooks. I'm kind of going to break them down and go different verses at different times. But the title for my message this morning, if you want a title, is Give Them What You Have. Look at your neighbor and say, what do you got to give me? Look at your other neighbor and say a high five and just give them a good high five there. But give them what you have. You know, the backdrop to this story in Acts chapter 3, we have Peter and John, two of the disciples, are walking into the gate called Beautiful. They're going into the temple. It's the hour of prayer. And there's this lame man laying there begging. Pastor Brooks made a good point. This would have been a man that Jesus
would have been walked, would have walked by at some point. He'd been there for 38 years, every day laying there begging for money, begging for something, anything that someone was willing to give him. So the what we're going to look at today is, what does it like look like to be used by God? Practically every day in our life, what does it look like to be used by God? Because I want to be used by God. I don't want to just be saved and keep it to myself, right? I don't want to know the freedom of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, and keep it to myself. Because if I'm doing that, that's called being a selfish Christian. If I'm keeping what I have to myself, I would actually challenge myself, am I living out the Great Commission? Am I living out the life that Jesus has called me to live? So what does it look like to be used by God? I'm going to give you, before we get in the scripture, I'm going to give you a couple practical examples of what it looks like. Dan Beasley, he's typically in second service, felt like the Lord put it on his heart to build a cross, and he did. He built a cross, I don't know, what is it, like nine foot tall or something like that? And he has taken the cross out now multiple times to downtown Detroit, to different areas. And simply what he does is he carries the cross, and anyone he comes across, he says, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? Hey, do you know who Jesus is? He's not intrusive. He's not rude. But he's being used by God. And another example, his son Joey, who is one of our youth leaders, actually just left, a week and a half ago now to go down to Florida to ministry school. But when Joey first got saved, it was about a year and a half ago, he was working at Costco. And he was just doing kind of, you know, pushing carts, getting them back in, you know, kind of the all around whatever you need to get done. That's the job Joey had. But anytime Joey was out and about, if he felt like the Lord prompted him, the Holy Spirit prompted him, he would pray with people. He would pray with people. He had this one lady who was riding a little scooter, and he just began to pray. He's like, do you have anything you need prayer for by chance? And she's like, actually, I do. I have this going on and this going on. And he stood there for like 5 minutes praying with her because he was being used by God. But you know what is incredible of that story is the manager pulled Joey into his office and said, you can't do that here. I'm a Christian, but you just can't do that here. You can't be praying for people. And Joey said, well, I'm sorry you have that view. I respectfully disagree, and we'll just have to part ways. And Joey left that job and got a job at Kroger and started praying with people at Kroger and had the same thing happen. The manager's like, you just can't do that here. And Joey's like, well, I got to. I can't not pray for people. He was being used by God. Roger Heitman, I know everyone pretty much knows Roger Heitman. He put together the outreaches of just praying for people, of paying for their car wash. What does it look like to be used by God? Our friends Max and Abby Zaman, I remember walking over to their, not walking to their house, I didn't walk to their house. I drove to their house and I walked up to their door, and on their little doorstep, they had a little gift bag box with all kinds of goodies in it, and it said, Amazon, UPS, FedEx, Postal Service driver, take one, we want to bless you. What does it look like to be used by God? So Acts chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. John and Peter are walking in, and this is what happens. It says, when he saw Peter and John talking about the lame man about to enter, he asked them for money. Remember, he's a beggar. He's laid there. He's lame. He can't move. He's asking them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, I'm going to leave you with a little bit of a cliffhanger. The first thing of what does it look like to be used by God is you have to be willing to be used. What does it look like to be used by God? You have to be willing to be used. Verse 2 says he was lame since birth. I said that. He's been there for probably about 38 years. Every day, Jesus would have passed by him. Peter and John would have passed by him before. And in that moment, Peter could have walked by him. Peter and John, they could have just kept walking. But he was willing to be used. In that moment, Peter was willing to be used. He could have walked by him without acknowledging him. We do that all the time, don't we? Think about it. At Sam's Club, anybody got a Sam's Club membership? You're walking in Sam's Club, or they have them at Walmart, and the AT&T booth is right there, and you're walking by it, and they're, hey, can I just talk to you for just a minute? My wife has a great art of gracefully ignoring is what I call it. Just keep walking. Me, I get suckered in. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. I have AT&T. I don't need to talk to these people, but I still sit there and listen to them. It looks like when we're driving up to a stoplight and there's a panhandler and it's like, just don't make eye contact. Just don't look and maybe they won't walk up to the window. Or maybe it's the cashier you have at Kroger or the person checking you, getting your money at McDonald's. They're having a bad day. They're having a bad day and you're like, I just got to get through this line. I don't got time for this. You know, I used to tell our students all the time, I believe you can change the world. And I stopped saying that, and I started saying, I believe you can change the world of those around you. Because we have to be willing to be used. We have these grand ideas of seeing the world change, but we're not willing to be used to change the world around us. We have to be willing to be used. There was one time, I don't know if I've told this story here, but with my youth group, I've told this story a couple times. But when we lived in Muskegon, we lived really close to Meijer. My wife loved to send me up to Meijer at like midnight. I don't know why. I don't know if any of you guys have a wife like that. But she's like, hey, I really need a pack of water. And I'm like, well, can this not wait till tomorrow? No, it cannot. It has to be done tonight. So I go up to Meijer, and it's like midnight. And I'm like, oh. I just, you know, I probably had like gym shorts on, a shirt, flip-flops, not looking the greatest, you know, whatever. And I'm walking, and I see this guy up in front of me, and he's got a limp. He's pushing his cart, and he's kind of limping down the aisle. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, hey, you need to go pray for that man. And I'm thinking, it's midnight. There's not hardly anyone in here. This is just weird. I'm not going to go up to that guy. And so I did what any normal person does, and I started following him because I didn't want to be completely disobedient to the Holy Spirit. So now I'm following this guy around Meijer at midnight. You know, not too close because I didn't want him to be suspicious, but not like too far away because I didn't want to lose him. So I followed him for like two aisles, just kind of looping around like every so often, like, oh, no, that's not what she wanted me to get. What was that? No, I didn't need that either. And I followed him for two aisles, and then finally I'm like, you know what? I got to go get whatever I need to get. I think it was actually milk. And so I walked to the back of the store, and I got the milk. And I did what we do a lot of times. I kind of made an ultimatum with God. I was like, you know what? If I see this man on the way back, knowing that I have a straight beeline right to the cash register, so I knew there was like a very little chance. But if I see this man on the way back, I'll pray for him. So I'm walking, I'm like, there's no chance. And then sure enough, I'm like halfway, and he just pops out of an aisle and goes back down. So I'm like, oh man, now I really got to do this. So then I proceeded to follow him for another two aisles, and then finally I'm like, you know what, this is getting too weird. I just got to do it. So finally I went up to him. I was like, hey, man. He was like maybe in his early 20s. I was like, I see you're limping. Is everything okay? And he's like, yeah, I just got done playing basketball. And I kind of hurt my knee while I was playing. And I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. I was like, would you mind if I just pray for you? You know, I just believe Jesus can heal. He's like, yeah, that'd be great. You know, we're always so worried about what the person's going to say. And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. So I prayed for him. It wasn't nothing crazy. And I was like, man, I really hope your knee gets healed. I hope it gets better. I hope you have a great night. He said, thank you. And we went about our business. But that could have been done like 20 minutes earlier, and I would have been home a lot sooner. But we have to be willing to be used. Jesus was a master at this, obviously. But Jesus was always willing to be used. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus is walking through a crowd, a huge crowd around him. And this woman touches his garment. Jesus had to be willing to be used in that moment. He could have kept walking. Think about Zacchaeus. We just used Zacchaeus as a story for VBS. Zacchaeus climbs up in a tree. Jesus is walking by again with another big crowd. And he stops and he looks at Zacchaeus. He was willing to be used to see Zacchaeus' life changed. A couple weeks ago, we were in our intern meeting, and Pastor James talked about with our interns the feeding of the 5,000. But one point he pointed out, and I never thought about, was the feeding of 5,000 actually came not too long after Jesus had found out that John had been beheaded. Jesus was actually trying to go away to a place by himself to be just kind of alone. And yet this crowd followed him. And yet Jesus was compassionate. Jesus was willing to be used. How many times in life do we allow the things around us to dictate whether we allow God to use us? And I'm not trying to diminish our circumstances, the things we're going through, but we have a hope in Jesus. We can't allow the noise of life to be louder than the voice of the Holy Spirit. We can't allow the noise of life to be louder than the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we aren't going to hear the voice unless we have a heart willing to listen and to be used. If we want to see God move, we have to be willing to be used. Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have. I think this means, obviously, in a natural sense, share what you have, but I think in a spiritual sense. First thing is we have to be willing to be used. Second thing is you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. Acts 3, verses 3 through 6 say this. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." He wanted that eye contact. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." The man was looking for earthly, worldly help. Right, he sits out there, he lays out there every day asking for alms, asking for money. He was looking for some kind of natural help to his situation. But you can't give what you don't have. Peter and John didn't have money to give him. And the reason I come to that conclusion is because in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 45, it says, "Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need." It was a common practice. They would take their money, put it in one big pot, and if someone needed something, they would give it out there. So I would assume that means that Peter and John really didn't have any money to give this man. But the thing is, the man might have been looking for a natural earthly help, but what Peter and John gave him was a supernatural help. What did they have to give? What did Peter and John have to give? Because we can't give what we don't have, so what did they have? What big event had the disciples just went through? The day of Pentecost. The disciples had just recently been in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit came down, filled them. They began speaking in other languages, and they saw thousands of people saved. But they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples had an encounter and were filled. Because before they ever able to give, they must receive. Before we're able to give, we must receive, because we can't give what we don't have. So if we want to see people have joy, we can't give joy if we don't have joy ourselves. We want to see people have peace. We can't give peace if we don't have peace ourselves. I can't comfort someone else unless I have been comforted myself. Kindness, gentleness, you can go down the list. We can't give what we don't have. If we want to see someone have Jesus, we can't give them what we don't have. We must have Jesus. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must be in tune with the Holy Spirit. We need to be reading our Bible, studying Scripture, because we can't give what we don't have. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth overflows. We can't give what we don't have. So you have to be willing to be used. You can't give what you don't have. You have to be filled with Jesus. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to be ready in season and out. And I know we like to throw that scripture around, that phrase around a lot, but it's so true. Are you going to be ready when that person in line at Kroger is having a bad day? Are you going to be ready to give them what you have? The peace, the joy, the love, the kindness of a Savior. Are you going to be ready to give them the good news? Because that's my third and final point. Give them what you have. Give them what you have. I'm going to have Pastor James come on up in just a moment and play. Acts chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, the beginning of 8, says this: Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, and he began to walk. What a powerful testimony. What a powerful story. Peter and John might not have had money to give, but the supernatural power of God, they had that to give. The power of Jesus, they had that to give. The forgiveness of Jesus, they had that to give. They gave him Jesus. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. If we want to see God move, we have to give people what we have. We cannot hold in the story of Jesus. We cannot hold in the goodness and the grace and the mercy of how Jesus has changed our lives. What does Revelation say? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There is power in our testimony. There is power in what Jesus has done in your life. You want to see that cranky Kroger cashier life changed? Give him what you have. Tell him about Jesus. I know Pastor Brooks has made the joke before that this McDonald's is his mission field. Give him Jesus. We have to begin living a life on mission. Intentionality. Living a life intentionally looking for people to give them Jesus. Who around you today needs peace? Who around you today needs joy? Give him joy. Show people what it looks like to walk in joy. Show people what it looks like to walk in peace, because if you come tell me that I need to live in joy, but you're not living it out, how is that to follow? You have to be willing to be used. You have to be willing to be used. You have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit prompting you. But then once you're willing, you can't give what you don't have. You have to be so full of Jesus. What does Pastor Brooks say at the end of every message? Live a Jesus-filled week. Because when you live full of Jesus, you're able to give Jesus to others. Because we can't give what we don't have. But when we do have a Jesus-filled week, we need to give others Jesus. We need to give them what we have. Money I might not have, but I can give Jesus. I'm going to have everybody close your eyes and bow your head. I don't want to sound like I'm dismissing what you're going through, what you're dealing with. So today, if you say, you know what, I'm struggling to walk in joy, struggling to walk in peace, I'm struggling just to walk in Jesus. If that's you, I just want, no one's looking, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? You can raise it and put it back down. I see those hands. Holy Spirit, I come right now and I pray, Lord, that you will fill these that raise their hands, Lord, that you will fill them up. Lord, right now, you will fill them up to running over. God, that you will fill them with your joy. You will fill them with your love, with your peace, whatever it is in their life. Lord, that you would just fill them with you, with your presence. Your presence that breaks strongholds. Your presence that gives peace. Lord, that you would fill them up. And Lord, I pray over our congregation right now. Lord, that we as Northville Christian would live life on mission. That we would be Christians that are truly Christ followers. That we would be Christians that live out the Great Commission. That we would be willing to be used by you to see the lives of those around us changed. And Lord, I do pray that we live a Jesus-filled week. Lord, that every morning when we get up, we seek your face. We seek your Holy Spirit. And that we would be guided by your hand throughout the day, by the voice of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, right now we give you permission. Lead us this week. Guide us this week. Show us who you want us to speak to. Show us who you want us to see their lives change, Lord. Guide us. Use us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have to be willing to be used. We have to be so full of Jesus, because we can't give people what we don't have. But when we're so full of him, we can't hide it. We got to give people Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, I hope you have a Jesus-filled week. Have a great day and a great week.